June is Pride Month, and of course, like all other celebrations, Pride has had to pivot. We thought this would be a great time to have on Victor Salvo. He's the Executive Director of the Legacy Project. Hi, Victor. How are you?
Fine, G. How are you?
Doing very well. How have you been holding up throughout this pandemic?
Well, you know, normally I work from home anyway, so it doesn't really feel a whole lot different to me.
Yeah?
except that going to the Jewel is now the highlight of my day. So,
well, have you ventured outside at all and taken in any of this outdoor dining yet?
We actually went out to dinner for the first time last Friday for my partner's birthday and kind of froze our butts off because it got really cold. We went to Yoshi's on Halstead, which I love,
nice.
But it was like we couldn't wait to get out of it because it was so cold. So it just happened to be the luck of the night. But yeah, we plan on taking advantage of it as soon as we can.
Absolutely. Well, you know, before we start talking about the Legacy Project and everything you're doing to celebrate Pride this month, wanted to ask you about what happened today. I mean, the Supreme Court, you know, basically saying that the 1964 Civil Rights Act protects gay and transgender Americans from workplace discrimination. That's got to make you feel positive.
It makes me gobsmacked, first of all. I certainly was not expecting it. I had read somewhere that Gorsuch may very well turn out to be an ally, which I found hard to believe. And then I had always expected that Roberts might actually come along. But when I actually read it, I was like, is this actually really happening? And I'm very happy and I'm grateful, and it's certainly the right thing to do, and all the obvious things that I should be feeling right now. I also can't help but feel, on the one hand, a little skeptical, because I also know that Supreme Court has overruled itself in the past. So I make no, you know, just because they ruled on it once doesn't mean that they won't, you know, change that in the future. So so there's the part of me that's skeptical about it, just is. And I always just think about the fact that our rights have just been so unevenly applied. You know, it's very much kind of a regional thing. People still have to, in certain parts of the country, you know, the last 50 years haven't taken place yet. And those folks still have to sort of struggle in obscurity and still deal with the fear of not even bringing the issue up. And it's very uneven. You know, white gay men have been on the forefront of receiving the benefits of the changes of the last 30 years. And there are parts of this community that those benefits have not fallen to just yet. But I'm not going to be a naysayer. There's no denying the fact that this is extraordinarily good news, and I hope it has the benefits that I think it should have. And, you know, I'm going to hope for the best.
And definitely over the course of your lifetime and the work that you have been doing, there has been a strong shift. Of course, it varies, as you mentioned, regionally in the United States, but overall in terms of American views about gay and transgender people, the ideology has shifted there.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm a big proponent of my constant theme is AIDS changed everything. Without the public even fully realizing it, the very fact that a plague forced an entire generation of gay people out of the closet was like a tsunami hitting this country culturally, that forced a lot of really fundamental changes, not so much or so quickly in the halls of power, but around the kitchen table. And I think that it was individual families having to make choices about where their values really were. Were they politically motivated values, or were they motivated by their families? And granted, there are many families that still chose wrong and abandoned their children, but most of them did not. And I predicted even back then, I was a journalist, and I said, it is impossible to project how far-reaching the consequences of AIDS are going to be in terms of the public's understanding of gay people. You know, and remember, all of that was happening on the heels of a change culturally in the entertainment industry. And I always say that the three biggest reasons why things changed as rapidly for us as we did were all named Ellen, Will, and Grace. those three things are really what brought this issue and humanized it. Mm-hmm. And I do think that we have been seeing that play out. And of course, the fact that we got marriage equality and the Earth did not stop spinning on its axis. You know, life went on, and most of the things that have always set up to oppose us have always been predicated on sort of a boogeyman, if you do this, this horrible thing will happen kind of scenario. And the truth of the matter is, same-sex marriage happened, and nothing changed. You know, except there's gay divorce now. that's where I think change really comes from. People finally just biting the bullet and realizing it was no big deal.
And I'm thinking back to your days of writing and being a journalist full time, and I'm sure throughout these last few months you've been thinking of all sorts of parallels in terms of a health crisis and then also of civil unrest and a social justice movement as well.
That's one of the things about, you know, the work that I do now with Legacy, because we focus so much upon the past, and I'm not a historian by education. I'm a history buff who is now doing history, for a living. And, over the hard decade that I've been doing it full time, plus the previous 20 years prior to that, what I have learned is exactly what you're saying. There is a historical antecedent for everything. And when you begin to see how this particular health crisis is impacted by the work that was done around AIDS, for example, fast track drug trials didn't exist before AIDS. Mm-hmm. That was something that ACT UP pushed for and got. And it's because of that that we're seeing this sort of Manhattan project level interest in attacking coronavirus. I must say that as tragic as Corona is, that it is somewhat refreshing to see everybody on the same side in terms of wanting to get this resolved, because of its universal impact. And, you know, Corona doesn't care if you're gay or straight or black or white or rich or poor, Republican or Democrat. When we were struggling in the height of the AIDS crisis, we were battling a plague, and society was clearly rooting for the plague. At that time, you know, we had been written off both politically and morally and basically condemned to death. You know, AIDS was God's punishment. So the dynamics around it are entirely different. But our community survived that. We will certainly survive this. And I think that we have valuable lessons that can point the way, especially in terms of activism and the kinds of things that are happening right now in response to that. You know, In all the world, we basically go through these cycles, and we're in one right now. And it's interesting for me, you know, when I sort of step outside my own personal and agita over it, and I just sort of look at it from the 30,000-foot view, it's a really fascinating time to be looking at history and how it relates to current events.
Victor, you're the co-founder as well as the executive director of the Legacy Project, and you are a historian in sense through the Legacy Project, as you mentioned. But just describe what you guys do for folks that might not be familiar.
Legacy is a cultural education historical entity. We're a nonprofit based out of Chicago, and our goal is to celebrate the contributions and achievements of LGBTQ people throughout history as a tool to help bullied kids understand a cultural context for their existence. Because historically, people like us have been written out of the narrative, the shared understanding of human history. It doesn't mean that we haven't been there. We've been around for thousands and thousands of years. Even if the terms gay, lesbian, etc., wouldn't have applied particularly, because those are so infused with political, you know, constructs now. But the people who were not heteronormative, let's say, in a very generic sense, have been contributing to history in fantastically important ways for centuries and centuries. And we do this work to celebrate those achievements and to try and close that information gap, because so much of the negativity around us, not only the bullying that kids experience, but the extremely negative is stuff that comes our way through the media or through the political realm, is all based upon the fact that our stories have never been part of the shared story of humanity. And that's made it very easy to marginalize us. So that our focus is on breaking that sort of wall of marginalization. And we do it through a variety of constructs. One is the Legacy Walk, which is the outdoor museum in Chicago, which you're very familiar with. The last time we talked was about Legacy in Boys Town. And that's the world's only outdoor LGBT history museum with 40 bronze memorials. It was just declared a landmark, historic landmark last year.
And Victor, I want to talk about if you're still doing the Legacy Walk throughout this month, and if you're doing it, you know, safely, physically distancing, coming up, if you can hang out with me for just a couple more minutes.
Oh, sure, of course.
Absolutely. Okay, great. A lot more with Victor Salvo. He's the executive director and the co-founder of the Legacy Project. And he's going to share what they're doing to celebrate Pride this month of June. Of course, everything has had to pivot a bit in terms of celebrations. And he's going to tell us about the Legacy Walk and the Legacy Wall, and also the great resources that they have, including they have 10th anniversary testimonials as well. All that coming up with Victor. Continue our conversation with Victor Salvo. He's the executive director and the co-founder of the Legacy Project. And Victor, how are you guys celebrating Pride this month?
Well, we have to, we can't do our tours, honestly. It's too packed. We can't maintain social distance. Mm-hmm. On a tour, if you've been down Halsey Street, the sidewalk is simply too narrow. Mm-hmm. And people, by virtue of just the narrowness of it, are forced to cram together in order to get close enough to the Bronze Memorial. You know, even with my PA system, you know, they can hear it, but they can't really engage it if they're like 70 feet away from it, right? So so we have actually, until the kind of guidelines are expanded, we just assume that we're writing off this tourism season, per se, as far as live tours are concerned. I am planning to do a virtual tour of the Legacy Walk.
Oh, great.
There'll be a sort of a multimedia based thing during the week of Pride. And that will, where I will concentrate, there may be like two different sessions of it, and each one will focus on maybe six of the plaques. And then those, it won't just be my face talking, it'll be more of a multimedia thing where I'll bring in images of that person, video clips of that person while I'm doing a live narration, to kind of bring that person to life. And it'll always open and close with the fact that they're on the Legacy Walk. So that's one of the ways in which we're trying to connect our stuff. But we're also in the process of converting very slowly, because we're such a small organization, all of our material into multimedia format. We have two complete video iterations available now. Alan Turing, the father of computer science, and Josephine Baker, who was a civil rights icon, World War II hero, and international entertainer. Both have roughly 10-minute videos about them that are, I think, really well produced. And they're interesting, they have music, and, you know. That's a really exciting project because, you know, Legacy, we're really one of the only history concerns that actually has physical installations between the walk outdoors and the Legacy Wall, which is our traveling installation, which has been on a national tour for 4 years. We have been totally preoccupied with maintaining our physical assets in addition to building our education services. And now that we're kind of forced, the wall is basically in mothballs until we can do social, you know, until the social engagement can increase for it. We're really turning our efforts to focus exclusively on education and creating these multimedia pieces. And I do a lot of webinars. You know, it's Pride Month, so I'm being retained by corporations to do those kinds of things, so like lunch and learn. You know,
yes, absolutely.
And it's fun. It's a different spin on it. To be perfectly honest, we've always been kind of lacking in the multimedia sphere because we have been preoccupied with our physical assets. So this is I'm not going to say it's a good thing, because we're certainly suffering economically. You know, our revenue projections are 70% down for 2020. Because of our inability to use our other assets. But this is a really great time for us to begin to shift into a different way of doing it. And it's kind of it's kind of fun, actually, you know, so it's good and it's bad.
I think it's great that you're pivoting and that you're building this virtual, you know, stockpile of resources as well. And people can go to legacyprojectchicago.org if they want to donate to help you out, since many organizations and nonprofits are hurting right now throughout because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And that's also where I'm guessing that they can sign up and go on one of these virtual tours with you, right?
They just click in the header. There's a thing for tours and presentations. It'll drop down, and they'll be able to just get in touch with us, and we'll set something up for them. So,
thank you, Victor.
It's good. Thank you so much. It's great talking to you again.
Absolutely. We appreciate your work and everything that you're doing, and happy Pride, and way to go to continue celebrating. Thanks so much for being with us.
Okay. Be good.